it's kind of like running a nursing home here, too. You know, I mean, really, but hold on.
Make you look that old
town. It's the beard, yeah. Okay, 10. No, it's not 10. It's, I don't know, when I see the blood, I don't know what number it is in your book. When I see something,
when I see the blood? When I see the blood, what's it?
46.
Thank you.
like this. I'm not used to this something else stuff. I could always see the keys last time I played this. There are benefits in being fat. One is being the clean clear. One thing I can hurt. Better than the first.
Thank you.
23 on your book.
Thank you.
25. Just do what you can for it, you know. because I've got more air in here, so I gotta find one more. So I know you're getting tired of standing. But if you don't want to sit, then don't sit. You have to sit and do it. One more. Jimmy, play by ear missing sometimes. There's a dip key here, and then you can find the dip key. Don't go there. C, D flat, E flat, A flat.
Thank you.
Hook, 275. Used to come out there in the wetland. Did as well.
flat.
I tell you about the bank experience the other day. The yellow blue thing. Oh, okay. Went to the bank the other day to check the church deposit box out. And the guy, the boy, took forever, but he finally got me in. I could tell this isn't going to go well. And I've got a blue. We have a blue sticker on our church bank deposit box. Blue sticker, okay. So
So the guy starts saying, I need the yellow key. And I know this isn't going to go well. He's looking for a yellow key, but I have a blue sticker on our box. But that's okay. He looks up and he says, yeah, this is the yellow wall. Every sticker was blue. Every sticker was blue. Looks up and says, this is a yellow wall. So he tries this yellow key first. Doesn't work. He tries an older yellow key, and it doesn't work. All the time I'm thinking, I know that's blue. So he goes out to get a lady, because it seems like ladies know how to do these things, and apparently men don't anymore. And she's going to come in there, and she's going to put out a blue key. And she gets out, oh, this is a yellow wall. I'm looking around, what makes this a yellow wall here? Don't say anything, because I'm trying to be the new guy. Don't say anything, just be quiet. I'm practicing. It takes practice to be that way. So she said, I just don't understand this. I need to get a supervisor. So anyway, she's, how do we figure this thing out? Then she went and, then she tried the, what do you think? The blue key. And I thought, this is going too well here. And there's no video camera. There's nobody watching this thing. You know, everybody needs to see this. And the door opens with a blue key. And I'm waiting a couple of seconds. And the lady finally says, you're probably wondering why we went through this thought process. I forgot what she said now. But anyway, that's the way it worked out. And all I could think of was, this is like supposedly the best bank in the city, the big one of the big rock, Baker Boyer, you know. Yeah, okay. I'm just thinking, this is just hilarious. First of all, I was upset because this guy didn't know what to do. And I know what's going to happen. The lady's going to know what to do. Okay, so it wasn't a couple of minutes later. I go into Bi-Mart. And I asked this guy, what was I looking for? Not that it matters, but looking for, it does matter, actually. Just, I want to remember these things. Looking for fat markers. A fat marker. And the guy just kind of waddles over to... What? I'm missing. Just fat markers. Okay. Oh, okay. I'm not hearing all this. This is probably really good that I don't. And so what do you think this guy does? He goes over to one of the lady clerks. Where are the fat markers? That just bugs me that there's looks like guys out there don't know what to do in these stores. So she tells us where it's at and walks over and shows me the whole thing. I'm telling you, that thing about the guys that are out there. There's no men out there. There's guys. So anyway, I don't know what that has to do with anything. There's a male. Yeah. That was even questionable. But. Now, who am I going to have? Is Repent still on there? Okay. Jason, you got to find me some people that I can just complain to. And just comment about how the world is going. It's going to be pretty dull. Poor Marilyn, you know. Have to put up with. I just see that stuff, and it just doesn't irk you when you see stuff like that. I guess that doesn't anymore because you've seen it for years anyway. So it just irks me. Well, anyway, here we are. Let's finish this thing off. Last one. Ephesians. Okay, enough of that. This last one here is all I guess. And now I want you to pray for us. And I want you to pray for each other, naturally. Pray for this church here. I received an email today. Dave, you got your business cut out for you. I just tell you that. I won't tell you anymore. It's from the ones we were talking about. Do you want me to tell you what I think your biggest danger here is? I told it to you a little bit. Want me to tell it to you one more time? I'm warning you men. You're going to have to stand up for this place or you're going to have in here some mean, spiritually led women. You think you've had it before? I think there's something about to take place that you men are going to have to say to somebody, we don't do that here or something. And you're going to have to back up Dave and Chuck. Chuck came in and gave me a real good Bible study. I even wanted to preach it tonight. So it's not the guy. It's the book. And you guys can come up with some good Bible studies and sermons. And you don't have to get up here and preach. Don't have to make anybody mad. We've been through that. I had one of my guys for a while in the past couple of years, always wanted to preach because he always wanted to chew you out. Because I guess I did. And I said, well, that's not your job, that's mine, that kind of stuff. But no, you've got some people coming in here, I think, that could really change the whatever of this church in a week or two. And I'm picturing how it's going to take place. That I won't tell you because I wouldn't dare. That'll just add more fuel to the fires of the past. But there are some other ones out there as well as the local ones that I think you need to be really careful for. I think they're going to come back. I think they're going to come down. They're very spiritual-oriented. They're very strongly spiritual-oriented. There's not a man in the picture. And they're going to come in here and they're going to just start to run the ship. And I'm afraid that some of you ladies could get caught up in it. Because they're nice people. They're friendly people. They'll have stories to tell you that you just can't believe. Because you shouldn't. But you probably will. So the men are going to have to really stick up for this place. And Dave can't do it by himself. Nobody can do it by himself. Because you'll come across looking like the bad egg. And this needs to be a men thing. That's why the men were kept up on all the stuff in the past. It's a thing. So just word of warning, I guess. I hope I don't hear that, but if I hear anything. So if I want you to pray for us, then we naturally go to Paul for our example of prayer. And we're just going to quickly review, because it's already time to go home for some folks. Let's make this really quick. Sure, we pray for specific needs. Pray for Jason, that his leg gets healed. It's a deadly staph infection that he could have. And pray that they figure this thing out. They're going to check the culture tomorrow, which I was glad to hear, because I know Jason needs a little culture. So that'll be good. I mean, the guy doesn't fish. He doesn't golf. You know, he just works. So I'm going to have to take that down off him a little bit. I guess if you don't have a leg, that could cut back a little bit of your work schedule, a little bit. So, but sure, there's specific things. Pray for our move. Pray for whoever puts the van on the trailer stays tight. You pray for specific things. And, of course, Paul says pray without ceasing. If you're going to pray without ceasing, you're going to run out of things if you're afraid of what to preach for. Just keep praying. Pray for us when we get there that there be medical fulfillment of our needs. I know there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this country that don't have what they need to have. Just pray, I guess, that we aren't of those thousands. But if it is, it is, I suppose. Pray for the growth of the church. There are a couple of men that are interested. There's a couple of families that are interested. I know one man that if he gets a hold of this thing, which I think he probably already has, he's just afraid to deal with it because when he goes home to the family is going to fight him tooth and nail. And you know what I mean by family. That's tough. So it could all happen all over again. We're not trying to find a better, bigger and better place. It's just a place to start from scratch and see if I can't learn what it is that I've learned and live it and see if we can't get another work started. I figure that us here and us there, can I say that? Us here and us there, I'd like it to be one. I'd like us to keep close tabs with each other and see what's going on and see if some things don't happen here now that the Scrooge is gone. And things can maybe get going. But I'm telling you, the devil doesn't want this place to continue with Paul. And he doesn't want that place to get started with Paul. So we pray. And we've been over these before, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just do a fast review of what it is specifically here that you can be praying for other than just needs and specific things and your thoughts and your concerns. That's all, you know. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, so give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so what he's talking about here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now here's a classic example of before or after 1 Corinthians 13:10. Because you can pray that all you want. But if the person you're praying for, if you or you, is not reading his Bible, he will not come up with any wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He won't get it. So there's how we understand what he's talking about here. So pray, sure, that we would read our Bibles, that you would read our Bibles. The people we're talking to will be reading their Bibles. And if that's the case, we want them to get this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You learn about the risen Savior, and you get revelation. Well, it's not something that you just get out of the blue. It's already in here. But haven't you had things revealed to you in your reading? So that's an okay thing to pray for. Wisdom, of course, in the knowledge of Him. You want your kids to know Him, knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's a prayer that we see what we need to see over there. And you see what you need to see here. That ye may know what is the hope of His calling. And we've come to realize that His calling is for us to follow the risen Savior through Paul. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So we've understood that. Let's pray that we will learn those things more and more. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? Not for us to handle His power based on our prayer skills, but it's His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. And then there's this little grammar thing. He's just kind of telling us more about this mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. That tells us that that power is to usward. That same power is towards us. That's an exciting thing. That He can raise us as well. He can do all those things He did for Christ. So, those are prayers to be praying for people, even praying for around here. For that exceeding greatness of His power, to learn those things. The hope of His calling, the glory of His inheritance, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Do you remember what it was like before you got into rightly dividing with Paul? You thought you knew some things? And now look what you... Not only do you know things, you see things. And didn't we say a couple of weeks ago, it's scary? What you've seen, what you've learned, the wisdom you've got based on Paul, and the knowledge you've learned, have you learned that comes of that what comes of that is grief and sorrow? It really does. We'll go up there and to talk to these people, and I'll get to know their families, get to know their people, and we'll start recognizing some things that is going to be hard again. Same thing here. So look at chapter 3. These are the things you pray for. Sure, pray that we get the building done, fixed. He's been drywalling it. Now they're going to have a plasterer come in, and to pray that the basement is just Okeechobee Swamp down that basement. Maybe that's where that staff is coming from. A lot of work to be done. Roof, windows, I mean, just a lot of things to be done. So pray for those. Sure, you pray we get that stuff done. But it's going to take specific things to get it done in time. But what else? Verse 14, chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, tells us that it's okay to get down on your knees and pray. If you can get up. It's okay. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That He would what? Okay, grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So He's in us. We need to be strengthened. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We want people to learn by faith. We want people to learn about His faith as well as our faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, do we care? We care. That couple that was praying in front of that Catholic statue that one day, I cared for those people. I didn't know what to say. Didn't say anything. You can't say anything. What are you going to say? I mean, how do you do this? You know, you have a hard time witnessing to your kids sometimes or to your friends or your neighbors. We don't see this out here very much, but you see somebody on their knees in front of a statue, and you know behind that statue, they say, are the bones of who that statue is making it look like. It's like, man, that's sad. So what do? You know, you care for people. You have a love for these people where to get this. I think it would be marvelous to go to this city, and it's different. I don't know how else to tell you. It's just different in different parts of this country. It's different. And I'm hoping that this town is Catholic ingrained. Pete would be thrilled to go with us to Salina. Pete says, Pete. Even he contributed to the cause. Got a check from Pete the other day. Now think about that. we're going off to Catholic country, and a Catholic sends the Bible preacher guy, and Pete knows. I think Pete knows. He just can't. I don't know what to say about Pete. But anyway, there's a love. You want that town to get it. Goodness of God. You want these Baptist pastors who are caught up in their Baptistic teachings and their pride and their arrogancy. You want to just sit down and say, listen, can I just show you the Bible? Let's talk about this Bible. That's what I want to be able to do. We've done it. We did it to 3 o'clock in the morning with a couple of the guys every couple nights there. 3 and 4 in the morning. 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning. That was enjoyable. So it says in this, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. I mean, that's to comprehend. That's to understand. Comprehend this stuff. With all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ. Not just the love of God, but the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's quite the things to be praying for. Then we see, now unto Him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Remember we said this morning, at the end of Philemon, that Paul would pray that would say to this one man that I know that you do more than I ask. Paul says that to his people. Here's it is with Christ. To Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Who knows what this trip for us will be? Who knows what will happen within this church? It could go marvelous. Lift the book, put the book above everything, put the book above Paul, put the book above Jesus, because it's above His name. How are you going to know which Jesus you're talking about if there isn't something above Him and that's the King James Bible? You know, kind of thing. How do you tell the difference between the coming of the Antichrist in the Revelation Bible, or in the book of Revelation, at Revelation chapter 6, compared to Revelation chapter 19, only in the King James Bible? So this is still the number one issue here. But to think why we're still here. Not we, I mean just us as a church. This book has to be put above everything. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. These are his prayers. I've mentioned these before. That serious prayer. Verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. We have people up there in Salina, they have people up there in Salina that have just an ounce of any kind of Christianity in their standards and what they wear and how they talk, what they do, and we just have to pray that they grow in that knowledge and in judgment, that they learn to approve things that are excellent. We've been preaching stuff long enough that most of us in here tonight understand things that are excellent, that we should be judging. And it wasn't 5-6 years ago, we didn't. I'd hate to hear a situation where somebody said something a couple of years ago that this is what you want it to be, and then a couple of years down the road, you're less than that. I don't want you to go less with your standards. I don't want people to go, you're tired of it, and why fight it? So let's just back off with our modesty. Let's just back off with our actions. Let's just shove them all out to work and let's just have a great time in the world. That's going backwards. I hate to see somebody go backwards. I'd hate to see a parent or a friend or a husband or a wife give up and throw the kids out to the world. That's going backwards. We're supposed to go forward. We need to learn, grow, approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere. See, in order to approve things that are excellent, you've got to be sincere, or it isn't going to happen. And it even says, and without offense. We're not trying to offend anybody. However, we have a history of offending people. We have a history in this church of purposely offending people. Because we were taught, or I was taught, or the pastors before me were taught, that if you don't offend somebody, you're not doing your job as a preacher. And I don't believe that at all today. Now, yes, we will still offend people. but we sure don't need to try to do it on purpose. The Bible will offend people. The way you're dressed will offend somebody. They'll think you're judging them. The way you talk. What you don't do. I'm sorry, but I need to leave now. Why do you have to leave now? Well, I really don't want to get... I just need to get home. Don't give them that I've got a headache thing. If they push it, say, well, I really trying to stay away from videos and TV. And everybody whips out ugly Facebook. You know, you don't need to have to gather around ugly Facebook and look at all the raunchy ads that are on Facebook. Your kids don't need to see you doing that. They don't need to see the language of their relatives and things. I mean, I'm just grumping here. That Facebook thing has really stirred my nerves over the last year. It's embarrassing, if nothing else. Irritating, then. Facebook, MySpace, Twitter. Isn't that one? Is anything new? Twitter. We're supposed to learn to grow in that knowledge and judgment that there's something wrong here, and to prove things that are excellent. How can that be excellent when all it's doing is spreading modern Christianity, is spreading our worldly ways to other people who think you're a Christian, and they find out that other people on your page, well, this is a Facebook bash, isn't it? But that's just me. I hope I don't soften up and get in there and read all the stuff. I just don't want to. Doesn't mean you have to not to. It just says that he tells us that we're supposed to grow in judgment, knowledge, to approve things that are excellent, not worldly, not less. But anyway, look at Colossians chapter 1. I know. I probably offended the whole Facebook crowd now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You don't just teach somebody spiritual understanding. You've got to get it from some wisdom, from the Bible reading, rightly dividing, and the whole thing. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Boy, this is tough right here. I mean, it shouldn't be, but it seems to be the tough of the moment here in these days, that you might walk worthy. Well, how are you going to do that? You need to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You're not going to get that spiritual understanding unless you are what? Reading your Bible. Listening to the preaching. I'll say it again because you can't fire me. Ha-ha. The reason that we've got a lot of the troubles we've had here in this church is because our men have missed probably 3/4 of what we've preached here. It's fact. And don't let practicality be your excuse. Don't say to somebody, especially to your kids, well, you know what, it just isn't practical to make them dress this way. It just isn't practical to live this way. I've heard this, Paul isn't practical today. Baloney. Of course Paul is practical today. For a Christian to live in the world is not practical. Paul is practical. You just can't do some of the things your flesh wants to do. That's all. He says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Don't quit learning about God. Don't fall for the unknown God now. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness.